Hey, it's Slade, and this is Shift Your Spirits. For 12 years, I've been a professional intuitive and personal development author. I try to talk about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. I'm going to keep the introduction short this week because our episode is a little longer than usual. As always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show, so be thinking about a question or concern you have. Hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. If you'd like to support my time in producing this podcast, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. Take 11. I want to talk about blue-skinned aliens. That's right. Extraterrestrials, possibly angels, possibly both. I actually think it's a technicality. The reason why I said take 11 and I'm leaving that in is because I want to say up front that this is an unscripted episode and it's probably going to be really rambly, and I'm just going to do it off the top of my head because in order to prepare a really thoughtful, wholly inclusive report on blue-skinned aliens would be beyond my ability to do in any normal amount of time, and I would have to bring in a huge chunk of the internet, and I don't even have time to read all that the internet has to say about blue-skinned aliens. So I know that for some of you, this is going to start what I call a magic carpet ride. It also could actually be happening to you in the middle of a magic carpet ride about this subject. So what I mean by a magic carpet ride is, and I don't do these so much anymore, I actually don't have the free time or the sleep schedule to allow for me to do magic carpet rides anymore, because when I was in a period where I was doing a lot of these, it was back during the time period that you hear me talk about in my origin story. Between 2003 and 2006, I was partially paralyzed. I was housebound, recluse. I was communicating with my guides a lot intentionally for the first time. I was spending a lot of time learning to code online. So I was just living in front of a computer and had no sense of time. And to me, a magic carpet ride kind of describes this prayerful, meditative experience that is part investigation, part channeled inquiry, part synchronicity, where something comes into your consciousness and you start with a query in Google and it leads from one thing to the next, and you keep exploring and seeing new things to click on, and time goes by. And I would, you know, start out doing this at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and suddenly I would realize that the sky was turning gray outside and it was morning, and I'd spend an entire evening sort of traveling around the globe and traveling this interior landscape and this quasi-dimensional place that we've created in the internet. And I would come out of it having been to all these places that I never realized that initial query was going to take me. So blue-skinned aliens, if you start that, if you click on the links that I'm going to give you in the show notes, just be warned, you could end up on a magic carpet ride. I actually was very, very careful to not allow myself to do that. I kept a protective bubble around me and I looked at it through a window, and I got what I needed to get in order to have this conversation with you. And then I shut myself down, because I didn't want to go full rabbit hole here. In 2008, I went to Hawaii, the first and only time that I've been to Hawaii, for a conference of people who communicate with angels. I went there admittedly a bit as a corporate spy. I was in the process of developing what would become the Automatic Intuition program, and I had some ideas about how I wanted to support and teach people to do readings and to connect with their emerging intuition, but I wasn't really sure. I didn't have a sense of, like, can I teach this to other people? Will it work? How do other people teach it? So I was in a mode back in 2008. I remember the day I arrived in Hawaii was the day that Barack Obama was elected. So that was a really interesting milestone that solidifies the date forever in my mind for many reasons. But I was in the process of going to a lot of different kinds of psychic development workshops, really just kind of seeing how other people were teaching it. One of the things that really annoyed me was how much of it was really only teaching clairvoyance, but that's another conversation, and that might be something that we get into if you ever work with me in the context of automatic intuition. You'll hear my spiel about how I decided to adapt what I was doing to account for the lack of support in the other types of sensitivities and clairs, as we call them, beyond just clairvoyance, because I wasn't particularly clairvoyant, not at the time that I went to Hawaii. But anyway, so I was in Hawaii to be a corporate spy, to go to a really high up the food chain kind of new age event, to see how it was done by the pros. And also just to experience being, you know, in Hawaii with over 300 other people who all have the ability to connect with and communicate with angels, as I already identified with. So yeah, it was magical and amazing on a lot of levels. And I met a lot of people who are still in my life all these years later. But anyway, fast forward a little bit. I was really interested and intrigued by, there was a man, Mark Watson, who is a composer and musician who does a lot of background music for New Age meditations. And he gave a little spiel or a little talk about music theory, the scales, the chords that are associated with the different archangelic vibrations, and, you know, how to use a certain musical key to invoke a specific type of angelic entity. To tell you the truth, it was all over my head, music-wise. Like, I knew enough to be able to just kind of furiously scribble down what he was saying. And I knew that coming up as part of the training program that I was developing, I was going to be creating a guided meditation that would act as an attunement. And so I felt like, oh, this is amazing. This is exactly what I need to know in order to create the attunement. I wanted to do some very specific things and call in some certain types of energy. And so I took notes, and I, in a very simplistic way, attempted to apply what I learned from him in creating that attunement. So fast forward, basically a year later was when I launched the Automatic Intuition Professional program in November of 2009, I believe. And so the way it works, and actually if you want to experience this, if you haven't already, you can go to automaticintuition.com and download the attunement for free and experience what I'm talking about. But so what the attunement is and how it works, it's a guided meditation. The intentions at the level of the musical stuff that I'm talking about was to align the chakras, to ground and center, work your way up through the chakras, and more than anything, to open the crown chakra, to ensure that all of the information that's coming in for you is the highest possible vibration. And there is a few specific triggers within the attunement that allow you to connect with your Asher, which is a sort of personal guardian angel. You know, when we talk to little kids about, oh, you have a guardian angel that's watching out for you. I call that the Asher. I can't even remember where I learned that term, but that's the type of angel who is sort of like your personal bodyguard. Anyway, so you experience a meeting with that entity, and then you also experience, as the sort of finale of the attunement, if you will, a meeting with your guides in the Akashic Records. And this can be one entity, it could be a group, but it's meant to call in any entity that you have that's hanging out waiting for you to use your spiritual gifts or your intuitive abilities, your healing abilities in the context of doing it for other people. Now, this is not just about like, oh, you know, what should I do with my job? And, you know, when am I going to meet the love of my life? And the kinds of things that you might ask a phone psychic. This is specifically to introduce you to someone who can help retrieve information for you on behalf of other people. So you are volunteering to be a channel and a conduit, and this entity is meant to assist in that. It's a very high level intention. It's a high level vibration, and it calls in a very high level, for lack of a better word, I keep calling it high. I actually think of, when we talk about high and low frequencies and vibrations, I think of those as notes, like on a piano. So, you know, you can think of this frequency as being something, you know, in the dog whistle range or whatever, something outside the normal ability to hear and process sound. So, that's kind of what the attunement does. One of the most difficult things about creating the attunement is actually to script an experience where I am prompting you on what to see, hear, and feel without telling you what to see, hear, and feel. Or in some cases, to prompt you to have an experience that might be visual without telling you to see something, or that could be visual for one person, could be auditory for another, could be sensory in the body for another person. So it's a very weird thing to try to write. If you ever do a guided meditation, it's like telling a story without telling too much detail, because of course you want the person to fill in all of that on their own. So that's what the attunement is, and that's how it works. The reason why we start the course with the attunement is obviously it represents an intention, a goal that you've set for yourself, and also a kind of promise that you're making. You're putting it out to the universe, to all of humanity. Hey, I intend to use my abilities and to develop my abilities in order to serve other people and make everything wonderful for everyone else. That's your goal. It's a selfless act of service. And the attunement is really kind of something for us to wrap our brains around down here in the earthly dimension and just give us a way to see, hear, feel, name, experience, talk about that thing that is happening at a higher level, because there's a part of it that's happening at a dimension that we're not even aware of. And I don't even try to script that. I just, in my intentions in creating this, I'm calling in those energies and asking that they be there for anyone who listens to it. So thanks to Mark Watson for giving me that little bit of music theory to help enact that. So I've been using this attunement with my clients and my students for, what is it, almost like 9 years now. And I always get really wonderful feedback. I get a lot of requests to create separate music tracks for meditation without the guided part, without the vocal script. Even my dad asked me if he could just have like the background music and make it extra long, and then he could just use that to either rest or meditate or do that kind of relaxation stuff with it, which I have never really gotten around to. I don't even know if I could find the master files for that. We'll see. But anyway, so everybody who comes into my program does this attunement. And one of the things that's really cool for me is every single one of the first sessions that I do with everyone, they tell me about their experience with the attunement as if it's a dream that they had. And I am writing down notes of what they're saying. And there is information encoded in your experience of the attunement. Not only the things that you hear that are symbolic and the things that you see that are archetypal, but the actual word choice and the way that you speak about this phenomenon tells me things about your intuitive abilities, how they already manifest, and more importantly, it lets me know if there is something waiting in the wings for you that you are not even aware of and you've never thought to try, if there's some kind of ability that you have the potential for that's right there and you just don't know to reach for it. it will let me know whether or not to coach you forward and which tools would allow you to access those abilities. So based on that, we have an entire session pretty much where we unpack everything in the attunement, what you saw, felt, heard, thought, your impressions, what you learned during the attunement, anything that I see that I can unpack for you in terms of symbolism and, you know, the guide that you met and the names that you're getting for these guides and what they all mean. And based on that conversation, what we really do is we use that to determine which tools and techniques and psychic modalities are most likely to produce results for you. So for instance, I can tell from the attunement if clairvoyance is not your thing, if you're going to go to a bunch of classes where they're like, close your eyes and visualize, you're probably going to be disappointed. But I can also tell that automatic writing would produce some really satisfying experiences both for you and for anyone that you read for, and here's why that tool would be better suited to you. So it's kind of like a diagnostic, and it helps me customize the course and how you learn to develop your intuition. So it's a really cool thing. I'm very proud of it. And at the time that I was creating it, I was just creating it. And those were my intentions. And my understanding of how it works has evolved over time. So one of the coolest things for me is I have the perspective of everybody else's experience with the attunement. So the patterns that I see emerging may not be apparent to the people who are having these experiences, but from where I'm sitting, I can see things like, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? Everybody always has this type of experience here. Or when someone has an experience that is uniquely outside of the pattern that I see with other people, that's always really interesting too. I feel like personally, my way of visualizing metaphysical stuff and talking about all the spiritual stuff has a kind of science fiction vibe to it. And I'm very aware of the script within the attunement being a little science fiction-y and a little CGI. So it's always fascinating to me. There is an entire vein of students in automatic intuition who come through and have these really Native American, shamanic, spirit animal, outside under the stars, bonfire. Like they have this whole sort of aboriginal kind of experience that isn't remotely science fiction-y. And I'm always fascinated by how many people still take what I think of as having this certain kind of flavor to it, and they come out with a completely different set of details and aesthetic. So anyway, that kind of stuff is very fascinating to me. Sometimes I share it with the people in the context of the conversation because I want them to realize that they're plugging into something bigger than themselves, and they're not the only person who has that kind of entity as an Akashic Records vibe. So we see a lot of Merlin archetypes. I talked about that on a previous episode about the lantern bearer, right? And I talked about, you know, the wise old man, Gandalf, you know, hermit tarot guy who shows up for a lot of people in this attunement. That is a common, you know, symbol that we see, so to speak. And so there's another one, though, that's particularly common. It's always been there a little bit here and there. But lately, it's become almost everyone coming through the course. And so I'm always interested when there are these waves of things moving through the people that I work with, whether it's readings that I'm doing for clients or the students who are being attracted into the program. Last year, it was healing energy and a lot of healers. I'm still seeing a lot of people who do energy healing come into the course for whatever reason. So that seems to be a theme that was really apparent in 2017 for me, is energy healing. So lately, it's been a lot of blue-skinned aliens. A lot of Akashic Records guides have been presenting as ginormous, blue-skinned, angelic creatures. Now, the reason I said at the top of this episode or this segment that I think that they could be angels. I think they could be extraterrestrials. I think some of us see those as being the same thing. And if you really want to split hairs about it, you know, angels aren't of this world. So they kind of are extraterrestrial. It could just be that they are a type of galactic entity or spiritual energy that we perceive in a way that we associate with, ooh, that looks like an alien to me. So these entities are usually very tall, they're beautiful, they have luminous, pale blue skin, or sometimes as dark as cobalt, but it's always about indigo and blue. And the prevalence of this lately has been almost identical from one person to the next. And it's always been in the back of my mind. I've thought, you know, does that have something to do with the Hindu gods? Or, you know, has this got something to do with, you know, some other kind of phenomenon going on? I'm usually focused on the work itself, and so I just kind of tuck it away. But I decided to kind of go down a little bit of a rabbit hole and research some of this. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just decided, like, now I'm going to look it up. I'm just going to, like, peek at the magic carpet ride. I'm not going to go too far down the slide, but I just want to get a sense of what's going on. So I generally am not drawn to this kind of starseed information. I find it curious and interesting, and when it crosses my radar, I'm like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool, and I'll read about it or get sucked into watching something about it, but it's really not that frequently. Like, here in the last few years, really the only time that it ever even crosses my mind is in the context of the people that I work with, the entities they communicate with, and the entities that they channel, and who shows up in these meditations, that kind of stuff. And that's the only time that it even is a blip. I want to be really, really clear about this. When I say it doesn't show up for me, I'm not passing judgment on it, and I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just letting you know why haven't I talked about this before? Why don't I talk about it all the time? Why isn't everything in Shift Your Spirits connected in some way to exploring this huge subject? You know, the implications are enormous. So I just want to let you know that when I say I'm not drawn to it, I'm not drawn to it. I don't go looking for it. But if it shows up in my life, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I like to try to process this stuff without passing judgment on it, because quite frankly, there are tons of people who could listen to anything that I have to say and talk about and judge that as a bunch of bullshit. So I am very aware that everyone has their own perspective, and I'd like to think that we're all getting a piece of a bigger picture. Some of those pieces overlap and some of them don't, but I try not to invalidate anyone else's experience. So if someone comes in, and I meet someone at a conference or something who's a channel, and they, you know, talk to galactic beings, and that's their platform, that's cool. I find it kind of fascinating, to tell you the truth. It makes what I do seem very ho-hum, to tell you the truth. Still, okay, so I decided to tip my toe in this just a little bit and Google it and just see, you know, okay, what's the deal? What's everybody else saying about the blue-skinned aliens? And by the way, I did also investigate a little bit around, you know, is this connected in some way with Hindu gods? Because we see a lot of depiction of Shiva and other Hindu gods who have blue skin. And I thought, you know, maybe there's something there, you know. What's interesting, and Google this, Google the Hindu god thing, and the only thing that I could find was a lot of linguistics conversations, a lot of talk about how that color blue doesn't translate. There's not a word for it in that language, that actually, if you look at original text, they're talking about dark-skinned or black-skinned people. And anyway, there seems to be some argument about whether or not they're really talking about blue-skinned people or dark-skinned people. And from my understanding, the darkness has to do with earthliness, as if they have come from the earth, which to me, in my personal pantheon and cosmology, that sounds more like fairy entities or elementals. But I think the devas in that part of the world, in that cosmology and worldview, are elemental energies. So anyway, if you want to, you can research that also and see. But I found out really quickly that those are not the same thing, and that there doesn't seem to be a connection between the Hindu gods and the blue-skinned aliens. By the way, I will share links in the show notes if you want to go down that rabbit hole. And I chose to share a specific site. There are literally thousands. Like one of my clients, Sean, said there are tons of people just on WordPress.com who write about the Galactic Federation and all the stuff that has to do with aliens. And so I tried to pick a site that I thought seemed to be well executed. You know, they had their shit together. They've compiled a lot of information. It's well organized. It's put together in a way that I feel okay with recommending, right? So I'm just sort of passing judgment on one droplet of water in the entire ocean of the internet. But so I want to share with you some of what I found on this one site regarding blue-skinned aliens, and I'm kind of going to be reading to you here from this. So if you want the attribution link, it will be in the show notes. This is not my channeled information or even my opinion, okay? This is what the internet says about blue-skinned aliens. Several stories mention humanoid alien races with a blue skin. These usually refer to Andromedans. The Andromedas were the blue race that landed in Florida in 1954, trying to persuade the U.S. government not to work with the grays, but instead to join forces with something called the Orban. And their advice apparently was sadly ignored by the U.S. government. The Hopi Indians also talk about a race of blue-skinned star warriors. There are several indications that lead us to believe these star warriors are the same Andromedans. The nature of the Andromeda realm is abstract and fluid. A dimensional doorway exists in our nearby galactic neighborhood as a bridge to the Andromeda energy. This bridge or doorway is the star Antares. And that's from a book called The Prism of Lyra. Many sources mention Andromeda as the home of several higher dimensional species. Some of these species chose to come and assist Earth in its current day ascension progress. To adapt to a life in a three-dimensional body, these star seeds usually go through Antares. Okay, so I also, in researching Antares and Andromeda, wanted to read you a little bit about the Federation of Planets. So the Association of Worlds, or United Federation of Planets, is a group of physical and non-physical beings from many realms who come together for a number of purposes. Some have called them a galactic confederation or federation. There is no hierarchical structure or authority inherent in the association. The primary purposes for their interactions with Earth are, one, to gently nudge humanity toward a greater awareness of itself and its place within the association, and two, to prevent a critical number of nuclear explosions on Earth, which can cause a rip in the fabric of space-time affecting the galactic neighborhood. They have absolutely no intention now of evacuating anyone from Earth under any conditions. They understand the absolute necessity for the human race to become responsible for itself. Note that a lot of the information on the Federation is channeled, though corroborated by many contactees and by some witnesses working on covert government projects. Remote viewers also confirm the existence of such an organization. Okay, end the part where I'm reading from the interwebs. So, if this information is mostly channeled, like what they just noted, it occurred to me that I have a network of channels and psychics right here at my disposal. The very people that these visions came through in the first place. So the people who are seeing blue-skinned aliens as Akashic Records guides within my attunement as part of the Automatic Intuition Community Program. You know, I have a private Facebook group with all these guys. So what I did is I decided to sort of post some of this information to them. I thought, okay, well, fine. If all this stuff is channeled, let's channel it. Let's remote view it. Let's check in. Let's talk to some guides and see what they have to say. I consider the Automatic Intuition Community a tribe of peers. I'm not a guru. I'm more of like a host. I'm like a camp counselor. I'm a little bit further down the road than other people, or a little bit quote unquote older in this process. And, I'm there to help and advise and organize. So it was really interesting. What I did was I posted what I just read to you guys, and I asked everyone else, hey, you know, what do you think about this? What, check in with whoever it is that you communicate with and see what you think or what you feel or anything that you have to comment on this conversation. And a few people contacted their guides and asked about this directly. Like, for instance, they contacted their guides and said, hey, is this true or not? And a lot of the people who chose to comment corroborated what I was posting. You know, they just basically checked in with it and said some form of like, yeah, you know, this kind of checks out for me. They did a gut check on it, you know, and also let me know if it felt real to them. And in particular, Kara and Lisa and Aubrey all talked about just kind of a gut feeling of like, yeah, you know, as I'm checking in with this, it resonates with me as true. And one of their number, I can't remember which one, said that when they heard the word Andromeda, that it was sort of like beating like a drum. And then I know Aubrey came along and said, oh my God, yeah, beating like a drum exactly explains how the experience that I'm having when I hear that word too. So anyway, that was very cool. Jane and Kara both talked about a connection to ancient Egypt that came up for them. Melanie had a random experience in the past where she recalled these three entities who showed up during a healing session that she was doing with a client. And after the session was over, the client started talking about seeing these three blue entities, which Melanie took as a confirmation of what she was seeing. And like she said, this isn't something that happens in all her sessions. It wasn't something that she was willfully trying to contact. It just sort of appeared. And then the same thing was kind of happening for the client. And you have to understand, when you're doing these sessions, that may sound like all well and good. Like, oh, I kind of got this feeling. And then the client says, oh yeah, I got that feeling too. And it's not necessarily like that. Sometimes there are things that happen in the feedback where the clients and you are able to communicate different sets of detail that seem to corroborate themselves. And sometimes in the moment, this synchronicity is very powerful. I told you a story recently about how, you know, me and one of the people in this group were like pulling cards for each other simultaneously, and we didn't even decide to do it. It was just an impulse, and how we pulled the same card. And when things like that happen and you're living that in the moment, it's very powerful confirmation for sure. Chris in particular said that she didn't have a lot to offer up, but she actually kind of did have a lot of cool things to say. But she said that she had an experience many years ago, like 25 or 30 years ago, where she woke from a dream and heard the word Antares. Maybe she was in some kind of dream state classroom, or her guides were sort of slipping a little information into her consciousness. But she always felt like there was somewhere out there this piece of information for her, and she tried sort of researching it from time to time and never found a whole lot. Maybe she was sort of doing what I was doing, which was just kind of dipping her toe in and, you know, saying, has anybody written about this? But she said that she did know that Antares was some kind of gateway or home star or something like that, and that she had actually bought this book, The Prism of Lyra, which had some of the quote that I was reading to you, and that she felt like it was sort of put in her path, and so she picked it up. So anyway, there was a lot of excited conversation, and we were, going back and forth as you do on Facebook threads. It's hard to kind of relate that conversation anecdotally here, but I wrote Chris back and I said, it's very interesting because when I read her comment about Antares, I went back to that same site and because I saw that as a highlighted hyperlink in some of the information, and so I went to that page and found that Antares and Arcturus are the same thing. And now, the reason why this is interesting is because I have been told before, maybe more than once, that my soul origin is Arcturian. There are some practitioners, in particular, I know soul realignment practitioners, retrieve information about the soul origin, which is this concept that your soul originates sometimes somewhere out in the galaxy other than here and then travels here. So anyway, Antares, like we talked about, is the home of these higher dimensional entities and both physical and non-physical. And people talk about the doorway of Antares or the gateway between the galaxies and to other universes. And it's some kind of interdimensional bridge from Andromeda to our galaxy. So some souls, upon physically incarnating, choose to pass through the Antares gateway in order to reactivate soul memory or to give them layers of ability and consciousness that they need to exist within our dimension. So again, that's not something I channeled, that's something I read. But here on Earth, a lot of the people that are referred to as star seeds actually come from Arcturus or Antares. They're highly sensitive, highly intellectual, usually very empathic. They tend to be a little bit more withdrawn or reserved. So, one other automatic intuition person, Penelope, said she chimed in a little later because she's in a different time zone. She's in Hawaii. She says that she works with an Arcturian consciousness in her healing work. Lots of cobalt blue, she said, very powerful, intelligent, compassionate energy. And she wrote to me and said, it makes sense to me if your soul group of origin is Arcturus, that Arcturian energy would be present in your attunements. So, meaning, okay, well, if your soul origin is Arcturian, then you would produce this energetic guided meditation that would have some of that type of energy to it. Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. And she also said that Arcturus is the guiding star for Polynesian wayfarers. So, like I said, Penny is in Hawaii, and I met Mark Watson in Hawaii. So there's this connection emerging around Hawaii. Meanwhile, I kid you not, I had to go to Walmart while all this conversation was going on. And I am in Walmart and I get a text from my friend Jeff. Jeff is someone that I met in Hawaii at that conference. I believe, actually, prior to even getting there, I knew that he was there. And I feel that one of the reasons why I went to Hawaii at that time was to connect with him. He's one of those people that is a soul brother to me. And Jeff very much functions in my life as kind of my private psychic. Like if I'm spinning out of control, that's who I'm contacting. And so he's also a friend, and he has access to the automatic intuition community. As a kind of anchor point for me, because he was there having the conversation with me about the program as I was developing it. And so he's always been sort of someone that I tag team in a lot of my work. And Jeff also listens to this podcast. So I'm sure he's like jumping up and down right now, really excited that I'm talking about him. Hey, Jeff. Yeah, I didn't even know at the time that Jeff and I were texting. I didn't even think about the Hawaii thing. That has all come up since Penny contacted me. She has actually offered to do a session with me, sometime this week so that I can experience this energy that she's working with, which is very cool and very generous of her, and I'm excited to see what comes of this. So there could be more parts to this story. Anyway, Jeff is texting me. I'm at Walmart. And he's like, oh my God, I'm loving this conversation, you know, that's going on in your AI group. And then he says to me, I'm Arcturian too. And I said, okay, so how do you come to know that? And he said kind of the same thing I did, that a psychic told him that, or maybe it was a channel. But he did mention one thing. He said that whoever told him that was also dead on about a lot of other details. There was a lot of confirmation, affirmation around her other information, which made him kind of more likely to take that on board. And it was really funny because as we're talking about it, I didn't want to give him the sense that I was tearing anything down. And so I typed, I don't not believe in it. And it was one of those instances where your texts cross and you are typing each other at the same time. And he typed the same thing to me. I don't not believe in it. And so that's a really important part of the puzzle here for me personally, is I don't really experience this. I'm not drawn to it. It doesn't come through for me in readings. I don't dream about it. I don't find it showing up in automatic writing sessions that I do. I'm not channeling it. Nothing like that. And that doesn't mean that it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not interesting to me. It definitely doesn't mean that you shouldn't pursue it if it's something coming through for you, because I absolutely would support you in doing that. I really do try not to judge it. It could all be 100% true, right? Like, we could all cross to the other side and find out, wow, all that crap that Slade was talking about in episode 50 was dead on. So the thing about this type of information, as I was reading this website and I was kind of trying to evaluate which websites I felt like were a little bit more reputable than the others, and as Sean was saying, there's so many people online who are channeling this information. Being told that I have a soul origin in Arcturus is kind of a type of information that really cannot be confirmed. Now, it is interesting that more than one person has told me that. So I haven't had a lot of conversations with people that have said, oh, your soul origin is this and your soul origin is this. It's only happened a couple times and I was told the same thing. So that kind of is a quasi-confirmation thing, right? So if there's something to it, there's definitely a pattern there. I think three people have told me that. And here's the thing. No one has ever told me my soul origin was something else. The only people who've ever even brought that subject up to me have told me the exact same thing. So I do think that that's a little interesting. But in my readings, like if you get a reading with me, I will give you spirit guide information if it's something that you specifically ask for, and, you know, information about who your guides are, how they're presenting to me, if they have names that they're giving me, all that kind of stuff. But even then, I try to introduce some way of confirming that information. And what I usually do is I request that you receive signs and synchronicities, like really just a ton of them, to corroborate that information. And I get back some really cool stories post-reading from people who write me back that same day and often, you know, have these synchronicities with the names. I've had it happen with some really, really unusual names too. We're not just talking about Johns and Marys here. I've had it happen in some really, like that needs its own episode. So I'll make note to do an episode about spirit guide names, right? And why I think that there's something to them and what I think it's all about and how it works and all that kind of stuff. Because I know some psychics have an attitude that spirit guide names are BS and that you shouldn't give them at all. I feel differently about it, and maybe I need to come back and explain all that in a separate episode, since you like the woo-woo stuff so much. So anyway, yeah, I try to do something even when I am bringing through information that just literally can't be corroborated. I mean, I could be telling you anything, even, you know, with good intentions, but, you know, how can we get some kind of feedback from outside our own heads, in the real world to kind of, show up and corroborate that a little bit. And so we do have an exercise, that I do in that context. So I don't know how I feel about just calling everything channeled like that's some kind of blank check. I am a little bit prickly about that whole concept. I admit, when somebody says, oh, this is channeled information, I kind of think, okay. I'm immediately like, there's a skeptical filter there. And I admit it. It's a response that I have. But if the wisdom that's coming through in this channeled information is applicable and useful and insightful, I'm less likely to question the source. I don't really care about the source. Like for me, if someone is bringing through information that's really fascinating and useful and, you know, shifts your mind, then that's what counts, right? And so I definitely think if you look at some of the channel information that's the most popular, you think about, you know, Esther Hicks or even our own friend Frank Butterfield. If you listen to Frank and Paul and some of the stuff that he brings through, it's really like I take that information on. I have a use for it. It's not like he's just babbling about some planet off in some other part of the universe and just painting a pretty picture of what it looks like there. He's usually instructing and teaching wisdom about the human condition and how we think about things and how we can think about them differently. So that is one of the ways that I kind of tend to judge the channeled information. So I don't judge whether or not it is channeled or where the source might be. I just sort of judge the information itself. Like, is that useful to us? That's where I'm at. Fewer hearts and flowers, fewer abstract, just random things that can't be confirmed. If the information has no bearing on our human experience and condition, quite honestly, it could be science fiction. Okay, that's fine. I like science fiction. I think that science fiction is a platform for the story of humanity as a whole, as a species, at a much higher level. It makes things like philosophy and anthropology and science and biology all really accessible to popular thought. It gives us a way of thinking about ourselves as one thing. And that is something that you will see in science fiction more than any other kind of storytelling. And that's one of the things that people who are fans of science fiction, especially the highbrow stuff, that's what we are there to get from it. So people just don't ask me super esoteric questions during readings. They usually want to know about their lives and how to impact the situations that they're living through in some kind of practical way. So bottom line, I believe it's irrelevant whether I intend any of this. Whether I intentionally am Arcturian and I'm creating attunements with Arcturian energy and that's like my thing and I, you know, I'm really into it, or whether or not I am just happen to be doing it within the soup of stuff so that it is a part of it. It's interesting, though, to me that I could create something that brings that through without necessarily willfully intending to do so. And so that's the reason why my whole fascination with this subject has kind of come to a head. Like, how is it that I've created something that I don't get blue aliens from, but everyone, or not everyone, that's, you know, a lot of people, there's a pattern of clients and students who, in accessing my work, access these blue-skinned aliens. So, the thing is, if it's true that there's a galactic federation out there, like, I kind of hope so, in a way. I would love to think that that's true and actually happening. But, sidebar, I kind of think that we're, like, probably the North Korea of the galactic neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I think I come away with the thought, as I'm processing all this stuff about the blue-skinned aliens, I can still serve that greater good by introducing intuitives to it who may channel it or who may connect with it, who may use it willfully or may use it indirectly. I don't at all have a sense that, ooh, demons are trying to talk to us or anything like that. Don't go there with this. Nothing about this feels like that to me. I know there's some people with some religious programming who are going to go down that well. And I'm just here to say, don't. No. And don't bring that to me, by the way, because I don't need to hear about that. I don't believe it. So I do believe that even as I'm bopping around doing what I do, that I could be inadvertently serving a galactic federation that wants to see humanity ascend. And if that's what's happening, I'm cool with that. Thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message and answer to a question or a concern you may have. So take a few moments to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. You may want to consider asking for help if there's something in your life dragging you down or someone who's holding you back. Who or what needs to go? Seriously, get some support around this. Get a reading, tell your hairstylist, call your mom, or have a heart-to-heart with someone you trust. Lay it all out there and talk it through so you feel confident in your decision to cut some weight. If you continue to hang on to things or people you've outgrown, it makes your journey more challenging than it needs to be. You're not making cuts to manipulate anyone, to get attention, or to get revenge. Do it so you can rise to your full potential. And I'll talk to you later.